Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
Bring out the Zamboni!
It's time for Curbside with the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber. Brought to you by Scott Lee Heating Company, a proud Mitsubishi Electric Elite contractor.
It's Fastlane on 101 ESPN with Kerry Davis and Jamie Rivers and Anthony Stalter. Let's head to the 101 ESPN Celebrity Line. We're talking to our guy Chris Kerber, voice of the Blues for the Blues Radio Network. Kerbs, how are you?
Guys, I'm doing good. Season is set. We looked to the offseason, and a huge thank you to Grant Francis and Jordan Deacon and Mike Ryder and everybody over there that helped us get through another season of Blues hockey. It's never fun when it ends, but it is fun as hell while it's going on.
Absolutely.
Curbs, you were there for the press conferences today. What's your biggest takeaway from what Doug Armstrong had to say regarding this season and moving forward?
Yeah, Jamie, I think the biggest takeaway is something that Joe and I talked a lot about over the last week or so on the air, and that's the perspective of where this team really is. I did a lot of comparing this year on the air, kind of keeping tabs of things that Doug said at last year's trade deadline, at the postseason presser last year, early season this year, the coaching change presser, that kind of thing. And, you know, I think this season, except the hope of the playoffs, I think this season played out pretty much as expected in a lot of ways. And, you know, we can debate right now, and I think it's a great debate, is this a good scenario for the Blues or maybe one of the worst-case scenarios for the Blues? Like, worst-case meaning, you know, you missed the playoffs. Would it have been better to get a higher, you know, much higher draft pick? The other part of that debate is you had all those young guys, including the call-ups from Springfield, playing in very meaningful games against some of the top teams in the league down the stretch, and as you know, that is extremely valuable experience too. And it's not possible to get both. So time is going to tell on that one. But in the end, you had a regular season that was 11 points better than last year, and what was a year that was year number one of what it was expected to be a 2-3 retooling process, and in the process played 80 games with the playoffs still within your reach. So that to me, I think you've got to be confident that they have a plan and this plan can work.
Curbs, we learned a couple of weeks ago that Snuggaroo was going to stay in college. And so you talk about the offseason and some of the transition that has to be made. How much did that decision impact what Chief is going to have to do going forward?
You cut out on that last part.
Army, sorry, what did I say?
You said Chief. We understand.
How much does that decision impact what Army is going to have to do going forward? The fact that Snuggaroo is staying in college and they're going to have to make all of these transitions, these transactions in the offseason.
Yeah, you know what? The Army addressed Snuggaroo today, said that he felt that had Snuggaroo turned pro, he would have been in that grouping of Bull Duke, of Dean, and of Kessel. And that grouping, the way he described them, Kerry, was a group that they're on the roster now, which means it's their spot to lose come training camp. Now, they're going to have really good summers and train hard, and they're going to have to come in and make sure they earn that spot and then keep that spot. And because except for Kessel, the other two still have options to go back down to the minors. And he said that Snuggaroo would kind of be in that group, in that ilk. So I think I don't know how much it changes things. I think they were hoping he was going to turn pro, but they knew full well there's a chance. I can totally understand Snuggaroo wanting the chance to go back, win a national championship possibly. The uncertainty of the situation here from a coaching standpoint, you know, could leave some things unsettled, I would think. And so, you know, put that all together. I compare the Snuggaroo thing to T.J. Oshie. And we were all hoping T.J. was going to turn pro after his second year at North Dakota. He went back for a third year, and things worked out just fine there. So, It means that Snugger Root's still going to have a spot. They're going to hold the spot for him for a year later, you know, and they might have to find, you know, another stopgap in the interim there when it comes to him in that spot. But he said Dvorsky, of all the other prospects, could be the closest one knocking on the door to potentially being an NHL player next year. You obviously, and then he talked a lot about internal growth. And that will happen too, you know, more minutes for Neighbors in key situations, more for Bull Duke, things like that. So a lot of holes still to be addressed, but at least they know going in right off the hop in the offseason that the Snuggerud one is one that will wait.
We're chatting with Chris Kerber, voice of the Blues here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Kerbs, I asked this of Jamie earlier, and I'm interested in your thoughts as well. Do you think... because you didn't make the playoffs the last 2 years, different scenarios, different variables. But are the Blues much closer to getting back to the playoffs than they were at the start of the offseason, or do you feel as though there was a little bit of treading of water?
Well, that's a great question, because to me, my initial reaction is I feel like there's a little bit of treading of the water, because when you do talk about internal growth, and that's where some of the bump to be a better team is going to have to come from. That also means that some guys are going to be playing more minutes than maybe they did this year. And as young players, to me, that could lead to mistakes. And sometimes those mistakes, it's hard to win in the NHL with that. But some of that other internal growth is going to come. And I sat and talked one-on-one with Braden Schenn this morning and Jordan Bennington and Colton Parayko and Pavel Buchnevich. And you when you talk to those four veteran players, you hear from them about where they think they need to be better. So the internal growth isn't just the young players producing more to make you a winning team. It's better play from the veteran players. So part of me wants to say treading water on that, but the other is just a flat reality. I mean, you're going to finish 6-7 points out of a playoff spot, and you were 11 points better than you were a year ago. So I think you have to say you're on a better track right now than you were a year ago when you were sputtering.
Curbs, switching gears here a little bit, because I want to get your opinion on this, and it's un-Blues related for that matter, but still hockey related. Just announced a short time ago that it's official now, the Arizona Coyotes will be playing in Salt Lake City, Utah next year. You know, you're a guy that likes to dive into these deep thoughts on all these types of things. What are your thoughts on the Coyotes leaving Arizona, and what do you expect out of the franchise in Salt Lake City?
Going backwards, I guess, I think I expect great things out of the franchise in Salt Lake City. From my understanding and some folks I've talked to, this owner out there is really excited about having hockey, really excited about bringing hockey there. And I think from an all-around franchise perspective, health of the league perspective and all that, I think it's going to be a great thing for the NHL. For me, it's a little personal on the other side, Jamie. You know, when I spent 4 years in the American League in Springfield from 96 to 2000, we were affiliated with the Arizona Coyotes. We had a lot of the prospects at the time come through, even a cup of coffee with Shane Doan down there. Danny Barrera, of course, was a Calder, you know, a rookie of the year in the American Hockey League, his first year of pro hockey. And then the first NHL action I ever got to call was for the Coyotes. It was a period of play-by-play when they were in Philadelphia in the 99-2000 season, and it was using that tape to help me get the job back here home in St. Louis. So I've known some people in that organization for a long time, and I feel for guys like, I don't know if you guys have seen it making the rounds on social media, Todd Walsh, who is their TV host, just did a spectacular 5 minutes, you know, on kind of what this means to him and stuff. And I would encourage anybody to watch it.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Even, you know, Tyson Nash and Bob Heathouse, they're the longtime broadcaster, and, you know, the guys that are down there, Rich Nairn and stuff. It's a really hard time. I will tell you that I think the league did anything and everything they could to keep that franchise there. The first mistake they made was building that arena out in Glendale, and they were never able to recover from it, and that's as much on the league as it is on anybody else. A similar error, I believe, is made in Ottawa, and they're still trying to recover from that and build a new arena, right? You can make the case. Some could make the case. I might make the case. Florida, a similar situation. I think where some of these buildings were built, did not make it favorably helpful for the franchises. And that unstable ownership issue, they just never were really able to overcome ever down there. And so to me, I do believe the NHL is going to be back in Arizona. I do believe it's going to be back in Phoenix. I believe the NHL has put this plan in place with that being the process. That's how I believe they were able to appease Artie Moreno, their current owner, in that situation. And I know they want to be there. But to me, it's a market, a fan base that I don't think ever really had a full chance and a full shake because of the constant ownership and arena issues they faced literally from day one when they played at America West Arena, where a third of the building couldn't see the ice because it was a basketball arena, right? And those were challenges. I do think in the end, it's an unfortunate situation the league was in, but this, I think, is a fantastic solution, and I'm not sure they had a choice to drag this out anymore. I mean, you could, like, you hear from some of the players down there, and, you know, yeah, it's a nice place to live. It's a great place to go, but they just don't feel like they're even in the same league because of their building, some of the travel situation, some of the other stuff there. And I think in the end, I think it's going to be a positive thing for the players and the league. And in time, I believe the NHL is going to find its way back to Arizona.
Curbs, we appreciate all you did throughout the course of the year for Blues fans and Blues coverage right here on 101 ESPN. And while the season didn't end the way that we all wanted it to for the Blues, that doesn't take away from another great broadcast year here on the Blues Radio Network, 101 ESPN. So thank you.
Yeah, guys, thank you very much. Thanks for all the support. I know we'll keep these hits going here, and we'll keep these hits going and talk playoff hockey and stuff like that. But really, it does take a village. We got a great team over here at 101 with you guys and all the other shows and the behind the scenes stuff. And really, again, Jordan Deacon, Grant Francis, Alex Ferrario, the work they did to pull off another season of Blues hockey behind the scenes with Mike Ryder leading the way is huge. So thank you guys for everything. It made our job easy, and look forward to talking more as the playoffs and off season roll on.
All right. Sounds good, Curbs. Thanks, buddy.
Cheers, guys.
See you.